Sahanavavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahaviryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Travels to the Holy Places. From 29262 to 263, then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada's mentioning. One cannot be elevated to the highest platform of devotional service by karma kanda or jnana kanda. Pure devotional service can be understood and attained only through the association of pure devotees. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that there are two kinds of karmakanda activities, pious and impious. Pious activities are certainly better than impious activities, but even pious activities cannot bring about a static love of God, Krishna. Pious and impious activities can bring about material happiness and distress, but there's no possibility of one's becoming a pure devotee simply by acting piously or impiously. Bhakti, devotional service, means satisfying Krishna. In every revealed scripture, whether stressing jnana-kanda or karma-kanda, the principle of renunciation is always praised. Okay. So the renunciation is praised because then you're dealing with the aspect of it not being for yourself. Right? It's for Krishna, not for oneself. So that's the glory of renunciation. In other words, someone who has natural love for Krishna, then they do nothing for themselves. They always do everything for Krishna. So doing everything for Krishna then means just mechanically you're detached from what you're working with. Right? And it means that since you're doing it for Krishna, then you're applying yourself to the best of your ability to get the best result for Krishna. Yeah? But it's the devotion in which it's being, that devotion in which that intent of trying to do those things very nicely, that's what pleases Krishna. It's not something else. Right? It's not the technically the work, because that potency comes from him anyway, his energies anyway. Right? Yes.
I'm always a bit puzzled at piety.
Piety.
Because Prabhupada says, pious, the result is the same, it doesn't bring
fun. Well, no, let's just start here, just to just make it clear so we start on the path properly. You have mitzvah, and you have mashugana. They both start with M, but there's a difference.
So, there's no such a thing like you get to so much piety that you can get closer to a chance to enter the bhakti process, or it doesn't matter how much piety you have, unless you come in contact with the pure devotee, the bhakti process does not begin.
The second one.
Second.
C is because it's two different things. It's two different things. It's two different currencies. Material piety is the currency for getting material things in this material world. So it does not translate into bhakti. It's a very important point, because you're saying it's, but it's a very important point. Fixed stuff back inside, like that. You know, okay. I say some leftover rasgulla juice. You know, it gets sticky. You just don't sneeze. So you sometimes hear this idea that people have to be, you know, pious, this, that, and then they'll be open to to devotional service. But if that's true, then why is it our good friends, the hunters, why are they taking up? They were, you know, one was sinful and one was really sinful. You know? Well, they're both actually bad, because one would half kill the animals, it wouldn't bother people, and the other one would kill people if need to get his money. So they're both bad. And so how is it they came in? Right? How is it the yagyik Brahmins, they're so pious, but they're not taking up? So, in other words, when it mentions that accrued piety, then it turns into faith, and then it turns into prema. That means devotional piety. That means, because piety actually means in connection with the Lord, for pleasing the Lord, bhakti. That's piety. And the other is material piety. So one's a reflection of the other, but they're not, you can't use them. You know, it's like the kids sit out in the backyard and they have some deals going on and all that. You can't take that down to the marketplace and get anything. Right? So it's very important. But at the same time, why is it recommended then that, you know, the pious persons may have, you know, it's a better situation? Because they're going to have, the mechanical mentalities that are useful in bhakti. But unless they come in contact with the pure devotees and they take up that interest, they won't be able to use it. They'll use their piety to maintain themselves in the material world. Right? So it's a very fine point. Yes, it is the better situation. But at the same time, as you can still use that situation badly. Right? You know. So the thing is we're looking at it makes sense to us, because we always try to look at it from the inductive position. How by doing this work you get yourself to prema. But the actual point is without pleasing Krishna, then you don't get prema. It's about pleasing Krishna. So then Krishna is given, you do these activities in the association of devotees in this mentality, and him being pleased with what you're doing, that's how you get your benefit. So the mercy descends. It's not that we, by our prowess, ascend. Like that. But the point is we as an individual make our effort to try to please Krishna, and then the mercy comes. So the knowledge comes down, the mercy comes down, and we try to, you know, follow that. So that way we're following the descending process. Right? And then we get purified, we move like this. Because you're talking about the relationship with the Lord. Because we're generally thinking it's a status or something. No, it's a taste. You know? There's a taste there. The rati means that there's a particular attraction to Krishna. It's not something hypothetical. It's not this and that. It's just there's a taste. And that's gained from those who have that taste. Right? It means like if you have some milk, you can make it into yogurt if you put some yogurt. Right? You know, or if you want money, you invest some money, you get more money. Like that. It's just the way it works. So it won't work any other way. So sometimes one can get distracted that, though, devotees aren't, you know, nice enough or pious enough or moral enough. And so, you know, how will the society be? Will never be, you know, until they become like, they'll never, they can go on like this for millions of lifetimes and it'll never happen. These are just, they have their own doubts and misgivings and attachments, and they're expressing them. So, nice, but the point is engaged in Krishna's service. That's the connection. That's what makes it work. You know? So that's the difficulty. So there is the aspect of, so now if we reverse it, it becomes a little bit more easily understandable. Is that you have the devotee, they have that particular attraction to Krishna. And so then they follow the path of that attraction. That's rag. Spontaneous devotional service does not mean whimsical. It means you naturally follow that path that gives the taste. You know, let's say we take some money, you know, some serious money, like, you know, some $100 bills or something. We have a big stack, okay? And then I start here and I start putting them in a line, one after another. You know, and they go down here and they go over that little bridge and go around the other. And then instead of keeping going, it comes back through the swing house. You know, comes through that room there, then it goes up here like this, then it goes through the trees like that, and then it goes around in a big spiral in the lawn, and then I go, now, let us say we take a child, small child, 3-year-old child. He'll go and he'll see some notes, he'll play with those notes, and he'll go off and do something else. It has no value to him. And then he'll be playing around, he'll see the notes again. You go, oh, okay, and he'll play with those a little bit, and then go do something else. Now let's say we take someone who values money and we put him on that path. Now spontaneously, he's going to follow exactly the line where those notes go. Even if I send it through a mud puddle, he'll go, there was, I don't know what it was, something like, you know, one of those, you know, way in the, you know, in history, you know, back there somewhere in the, like that, that there was something was, there was this, some film and the guy was showing something about greed or something. And some argument or something, and someone is saying, no, you know, this like that. You know, people won't just do anything for money. He said, no, they will. He said, no, they won't. And so at the very end, he brings out one of those really big, you know, backyard pools that are above ground. You know, good quality one, huge one, brings one out. Then everybody's watching. He puts it right in the middle of a very busy place where all the, you know, all these people are, the lawyers are walking out, and all, you know, all these fancy people in nice suits and everything. Then these big trucks drive up, and they're sewage trucks. They're just full of sewage. So then he empties that until the pool is completely full and the stink, and everyone's freaking out. What's going on here? Then another truck shows up. You know, it's one of the, you know, those armored money trucks. The back opens up. They pull out, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and all that, and they just sprinkle it into the pool. So it's not just a few bills. I mean, it's like you go in handfuls, you could get, you know, $10,000. All these people in suits start taking off their shoes, climbing into the pool, you know, going around like that. And the other guy goes, okay, you're right. Yeah. So that's the thing. They have it, they'll follow it anywhere, wherever you take it. You know, take it out the front gate, you know, take it through that pond. You put one on top of each lotus leaf. They'll be going and getting it, you know, dragging up there, take it through the place where they make all those pieces for the TOVP, you know, take it over, you know, over the barbed wire fence. They'll get it, they'll get there. So that's the thing, because they have a taste. They follow it. So the point is there's a path of, let's say, like Mother Joshua, of parental love. She follows that path. There's a taste for it. Every opportunity, there's something connected to Krishna, and that to put some way to express her love for Krishna, she'll take it. So it's spontaneous. It's not by rules. And so there's natural, because the parental Ras has, as we see in Nectar of Devotion, there's natural relationships, natural taste, natural things that match. What's friendly, what's not friendly, what santri bhavas, what this, what are the udipan, all these things. They just follow that. And yoga maya, for Krishna's pleasure, is changing the situation so there's a variety of those things coming up. They just follow that. Here, somebody's piety ran out here. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, I was listening to a lecture, Prabhupada speaking on that verse of the Gita where Arjuna says, what happened to the yogi? He cannot complete the process.
Yes.
And Krishna gives two verses. One is about taking birth in a pious family.
Yes.
And then in a wealthy family.
Yes.
And Prabhupada says, even in a wealthy family, it's very, very dangerous.
Yeah,
because you cannot be in an environment where bhakti will come to you.
Point is, if you're in these families that are wealthy, religious, Also, you see in some other places he mentions royalty.
Yeah.
Like that. How many people are going to be in that? You know, it's like, you know, so then in there, then the point is they don't have to work so hard. So the tendency is they won't be mudhas.
That's what he said. They don't work hard.
Yes. And so they have time. So the idea of recreation, the idea of reading a book, the idea of listening to some discussions on you know any kind of topic, you know, social, political, spiritual, anything, they'll listen, and they're intelligent. They generally tend to have intelligence. Otherwise, how do they maintain that level of position? But being in that position doesn't mean that they can get attached to that, and then therefore not take it up. That makes them the Naradamas. The Naradamas are those who could take it up. There might be an inclination and they reject it. So they come in contact, they reject. Right? The Mayaya Pratigyana just means he's so bewildered by his knowledge and all that, they're atheistic. Or the Asura, they're so into their power and this and that, they don't notice about the God consciousness. And you can have any combination. You know, so good birth doesn't guarantee, but bad birth doesn't guarantee either. We see even on the material platform, the same birth, you have two kids born in a rich family, one's a total snob and all that and that, or another guy's totally lazy, attached to sense gratification, won't do anything, his father's really freaking out because, you know, there's no one else to take the company and he's a loser. And then you have someone else who's, you know, very, very philanthropic or very intelligent or goes out there and really endeavors and expands the estate like that. So you have all these kind of things. Same in those who are poor. You got these guys that are poor and they're terrible. They join a gang. They get themselves killed. You know, like this and that. They disappoint their mother. Other ones, they're totally there. They support their mother and all that. Work very hard. Like that, others that go in there and try to break through, you know, into, you know, out of that kind of thing and get educated or whatever it is and make a better life for themselves. You have all that. So the point is it's going to be the individual desire of the living entity. These other things don't, you know, the social people, they say, okay, so much percentage does this, that, and they have some general. But it's up to what you do with it. Because generally people would do this, but you don't have to do that. You're independent. You're free. You don't have to. Let's say free meaning free will. But generally people will do this because of their attachments and, you know, their comfortableness in the material world. But because they have done some devotional service, the general thing, they will come in contact again. And then they could take it up. But they could also not take it seriously. You know, they could meet a devotee and buy a book and stick it on their shelf and do nothing about it. You know, one time think, oh, I should sit down and read that. Never do it. You know, or after some time, maybe they do a little bit or, you know, bump into the devotees again. So it may take so many lifetimes to accrue that devotional piety or jata sukriti that they develop shraddha. Once you develop shraddha, then it'll generally work much better. Right? But having developed shraddha, then again, they could end up going to the heavenly planets if they, you know, too much into the material scene and all that. Because you see, many times devotees get very worried about the material situation and focus on that, being practical and all these kind of things. Then basically, if they remember Krishna, great. But if not, there's a good chance to go to the heavenly planets because they want that material facility. They're doing devotional service. They have the piety. Then, you know, they'll end up and have all these things. But then, the difficulty comes is that when they come back, they were not going to take birth in the families of devotees necessarily. They're going to take birth in these religious families or wealthy families or, you know, like that. You know, because they've been there, they've been refined, they've used to a good lifetime. But then now they have to get serious. And so then, you know, there's so much variety. It's there. It's all very individual. Like you see somebody, a devotee family, they have children, they're not so inclined. Others, they're very inclined. It just depends on the individual. You know, they may have faith in devotees, may not, may like chanting. Like a lot of times you see the kids, they like chanting. You know, they have no problem with festivals, doing things for the deities, like that. taking prashad. They're quite cool with that, but they may not like administration. They may not like any authority, things like that. But I mean, nowadays you see so many individuals, they don't like authority. So if they go back to Godhead, great. If they don't go back to Godhead, they're that next kid. You know? So these elements are there, and so then you have to appreciate that no material situation, nice or not nice, can generate or get in the way of devotional service. It's all on the desire of the living entity. But why the Vedic is recommended, because within that, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out, devotional service is written into karma and jnana. You have to perform devotional service to be successful in them. And so, because of that, then you might come in contact with pure Vaishnavas. You know? And so then that's, like you see, Srila Prabhupada, his father, I mean, they were devotees, and he was just, as a grihasthi, feed four sadhus a day. But, you know, four sadhus a day for, you know, last 20 years, Srila Prabhupada wasn't impressed. You know, there's a good chance not one pure devotee came through that door. But, you know, as a household, they were performing their duties. So he was skeptical even when he heard about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But his friend said, no, you're really like... So then he went, and then he was impressed, because here was a real sadhu. Right? So that's the thing is that because you have those things, then you're willing to go see sadhus. You know, it's just like, let's say, some yogi comes to town. How many people go to see the yogi? Right? Not very many. But some yogi comes to town and, you know, some place in India where they follow, you know, more or less, you know, the Vedic culture, they'll go and visit just to pay respects or this or that. So there's more of an inclination. That's why it's recommended from our inductive side. You know, so, because we're always, you know, we tend to look for, you know, where's it going to work? Where's the mechanics at work? But, as we were saying, going back to the other side, is that in all this, Mother Jashoda, she's cooking. Now, when she's cooking, is she worried about her eating? No, it's just about Krishna. What would be nice for Krishna? How to make it nice for Krishna? So that means she's totally detached. And completely doing it for Krishna. So that's, you can see, it's the perfection of Yukta Vairagya. And so you see in all Vedic activities, you're supposed to do your duties without attachment. Why? Because the residents of the spiritual world do all their duties without attachment. Right? And then, if you're inclined to bhakti, then of course you do it to please Krishna. But if not, by doing that, by doing your duties with detachment, you'll get liberation. So for the jnanis, they're inspired. For the karmi, by doing your work without the attachment, you gain the piety that'll take you to the heavenly planets. They'll work. So there's a motive in their detachment. But it's pious. And why is it pious? Because it's following the form that bhakti would naturally follow. But they're not performing bhakti. They're using the mechanics of bhakti without bhakti. Right. So, all the things that we're asked to do are the same thing. Mother Jashoda, she because she's in that particular relationship, she only does things in connection with that relationship. And that sets the form of the whole etiquette between how Mother Jashoda deals with everybody else in Vrindavan. And she doesn't go outside of that. So, by the particular rasa she has, there's a particular form she has, and therefore there's particular activity she performs. And so we're being asked, and she does those activities just to please Krishna. Right? But it's coming from the other way. Because she wants to serve Krishna, these positions are there. And she uses all those in support for doing her service. Here we're doing the same thing. Whatever your position is, take that, use it without attachment to please Krishna. So we're not being asked to do anything that the residents of the spiritual world don't do. So these simple things of devotional service are what they act on. It's not the fine detail of what they're doing. It's the particular attitude and situation that is what we can do. Because that mood of rati, that prema, we don't have. We can't follow that. That's why we can't imitate. We do what they do with the idea to please them, to serve Krishna. So we're not being asked something else. But, you know, in any case, as it is, we're in the material world because we didn't agree with following Krishna's, program. So we still have that left over. We don't want to follow. Why do I have to follow this? Why do I have to follow? Why all the rules? Why this authority? Why all these things? Why can't I just do what I want? You can if you want to stay here. You want to go back to Godhead? You do what they do. Mother Jashoda, they follow. Varanashram comes from them. It's formalized in Dwarka. Then you see the opulence and all that. But it comes from Vrindavan. It comes from Krishna. It's part of Krishna's Sarup. But all the energies, all the form, everything comes from, everything's dependent on his Sarup, on his form. Right? Because as it is, right, as you know, the different parts of his body, they make up the different parts of the Varnashram. So, I mean, you know, if you don't like Varnashram, then do you not like Krishna's form? Buddhists don't follow Varnashram. So at least there's an silver lining there if you're feeling some, you know, need some inspiration for not following Varnashram. Buddhists don't follow. You know, and they don't care about the form. So that's the thing, is that's why you see it, in the morning it was mentioned, Jiva Goswami's mentioning about whether it's, you know, following this or that or any combination. You have to be careful. You have to be very careful. Here, neither pious nor impious will get you bhakti. So you can't think, oh no, we're just being practical. We don't need varnashram. We just do this. That's the real, you know, that'll get us the good result. But that the activity may be impious, but it won't get you at Krishna any more than the other. So that's why for us is these questions of following the sadhana and the social, you know, rules and all that, they're only there to support. And so you see the acharyas, they say how important it is, but you see how much of it they give to follow is not that much. It's just the main principles. The details they don't get into. We're thinking, they just give the principles, and we're thinking, oh, this is too much, because we're used to a totally unregulated life. You know? But the detail is mind-boggling. Like that. So it's like, you know, we're thinking, oh, that's ritualistic. No, it's not. It's just cut back to the simplest form. You know, it's just like Ekadasi, no grains or beans. That's it. You know? Just don't do that. And then you're good. You know? So, how many times you eat, when you eat, this, that, you know, that's up to you. You want some tradition? Yeah, there is things of tradition. But the point is if that works for you, you do it. If it doesn't work for you, then you don't do it. Point is no grains and beans. So that's really straightforward. Otherwise, it's a 48-hour actually vrata. You know, with details all the way along and all that. And so basically, you've been fasting for 48 hours. You know, and so. That's the thing, is that it's the details, it's simplified so much, and that's Lord Chaitanya. He simply told his mother, just follow this. Chaturmas, just follow these four things. You know, and we're freaking out about, you know, this and that. It's just these four. There's more. There's about probably about 80 rules. We're given four. That's 0.5%. Oh, so ritualistic, karma kanda. No, that's 0.5%. So one has to appreciate that it's only by the association of devotees that you can advance and develop in devotional service. That's it. There is no other process. Right? So, Therefore, these others will put you in light. Does that make sense? So it's very, very important. But we don't put the emphasis on that. We put it on something mechanical. And then you end up with all these difficulties that we come up with, that there's not proper Vaishnav seva and all that. But, you know, we'll put an emphasis on the Sankirtan, not necessarily Jiva Doya, but at least on the Sankirtan. So some aspect of it. Some will put it more on the preaching, some more on the collecting. You know, so there's something there, at least that's there. Vaishnav seva is basically kind of ignored. And then Nama Ruchi, it's kind of like everyone stands back and hey, no, that's weird. That's bogus. So just the basic general things they're given, there's no balance. Because if they do get into it, it's that only. You know, it's like Atmavan Manya Tejagat. Probably gives the example that the old man, he's deaf. And so he's calling out to his wife. And she answers, but he can't hear it. So he's complaining, "Are you deaf? I'm calling you." So because he's deaf, he can't hear what she says. He thinks she's deaf. So like that is, if they get into, let's say they get into cows. It's all about cows. Everything has to stop for cows. They're the more important than anything. You know? Part of its community, it's about that. Temples, we don't need temples, this and that. You know, so whatever it is, we just take something and it just becomes totally, no, it can't be a balance. You know, what about putting it all together? And that's why then you practice, you associate, you hear, you see the stories, you see how others are acting, and you see how they balance these things. How they, like Lord Chaitanya, he comes in, and right now we've seen in the with the Tattvavadis, he comes in because he's younger and all that, and all these guys will be generally a little bit older, though they are mud with sannyasis, so they take sannyas when they're kids, you know, depending on the one, from, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12, like that, you know. So that's what I see. I don't know if you ever saw Pajwar Swami. You ever saw his Danda? Yeah, he has this little, it's about that big, you know, because Indian kids tend to be really small. So he took when he was 6, so he'd be about that big. So he has that little Danda, you know, he carries it around, you know. And they laugh about the Shris, because they take sannyas when they're like 90 or something. So they have these big, big Dandas, you know, and they're like, I have big Dandas, and we have the small Dandas. No. Inner, what do you call it? Inner sampradaya joking, right? You know, so, but he opens that, you know, I don't know so much about this. Can you explain it? And then when they explain, that they see that there's that pride and all that, and they take it, that's it. Like you said, Ramananda Rai started with exactly the same point. But, you know, he said, you know, what's the goal? It says, no, but that's external. Okay, then there's this. But with them, no, that's it. There isn't anything more. So then he starts to explain. So you just see the etiquette and how the culture and how he's dealing. So then like that, gradually you start to see, you know, how to respond, how to act, how to deal. You know, how to go back. You know, it's just like Gadadhar Pandit. When he saw the king, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, yes. At first he just thought, what a gross materialist. You know, it's kind of like, why did you bring me here? You said this is a great devotee and this and that. So when he understand he wasn't catching it, then whoever he came with, he recited a verse from the Bhagavatam, from 10th canto. And then he went into ecstasy, right? And then for 6 hours straight, he's rolling on the ground in ecstasy and breaking everything that's there. And he rolls, hits things, you know. And the point is that, you know, these things are expensive. You wouldn't break them. They're valuable. So he just sits going, then he understood. But now, having done that, now he can go back. He can go, yes, I was wrong. So now I will. Does that make sense? Yeah. So You get the etiquettes there. You see, you may have your doubts, but then, you know, you're trying to, your friend is saying, so then you try to do it. Like Srila Prabhupada, he doubted, but then he came, he heard, because his friend said, he recommended in the relationship, then he heard. Because otherwise, he goes, it was one of those. You go there, you hear, you don't like it, you don't have to go back. So, you know. You know, it's like we tell people, I don't know about now, but before you tell people that, you try the chanting. You know, try it for 2 weeks. If you don't like it, you don't have to continue it. But at least try it for 2 weeks and see if you get an effect. You know, it's just, there's just these ways of dealing. And so by that, then the culture comes out, all the other things. People are saying, we don't want Varnashram, but they want community. You know? That's like saying, you know, I'm hungry, but, you know, cooking, you know, what do we need cooking for? We're devotees. We just chant. No, but you're hungry. You want some food. Yeah, no, we want some food and all that. Yeah, yeah. So then they figure out a way to, I don't know, you know, get it from nuts and bolts. I don't know. Where do you get it from? So that's the thing, is that this push to use things that are, you know, more external, but it's the Vedas regulate that. And if you want to have less of those things, like the temple life, then you use less. Like the temple life, it's got very minimal Varnashram elements in it. It's basically Pancharatra, because Pancharatra is from the Vedas. It takes everything that's connected to the Lord. And devotees were living that very comfortably. But as soon as you get into the Varnashram, that takes material quality. See, Pancharatra and Bhagavat, it just takes devotional qualification. But if you want to work within the material confines of the mechanics, you have to have material qualification. You want to manage, you have to actually have material qualification to be a manager. You know, you want money, you have to know how to do that. You know, whatever it is, you have to have that material qualification, because you're using the body. The other one, you're just engaging it in direct activities of devotional service. So it doesn't matter. So as you go that direction, you have to use the facilities that Krishna gave. Krishna gave those. You can't reject them. We don't feel like it. We want to interpret Prabhupada's instructions in this way. But the point is no. It's Krishna's world. That makes sense. So, yeah. So it's just a matter of just looking at things in a level-headedness, and you see that what the acharyas have given us is the most simple, straightforward way that you can get back to Godhead in the quickest possible way, most efficient way. And if you do have these, you know, more variety of needs, then it's already recommended. You take that from the Shastra. You know. And so then that works. And they recommend where to look for it and all these things. So that's the whole point, is that taking it from, you know, how you say, that material pious lifestyle into bhakti and into pure devotion, you know, you can just naturally flow if you have that proper association. But if not, you get attached either to karma, to either pious or impious. Like you see, sometimes the devotees are discussing things that the Vedas don't recommend. They're impious, but they're attached to them. Certain social structures, certain social dealings that are impious, but they're attached to them. But they're thinking this will give devotional service. No, it won't. It's the association of the devotees. It's bhakti, that will give. So it has to be. You have to be clear what's actually the working ingredient. But it's not like allopath medicine where you remove that only and that's it. You know, it comes with everything else. And so all that together, then you have, it's complete. Does that make sense? It's balanced. So yeah. Is that good? Yeah.
We have a way for difficulty to understand and to follow the primary and to follow the secondary.
Yes.
And sometimes follow the primary, after the secondary came, we forget, and it's mixing.
Yes. The point is that if you always keep the primary as primary and the secondary as secondary, So what it means, the primary is there because it's connection to Krishna. The secondary is there because you're taking his energies and connecting to Krishna. If you don't connect them, they're not even secondary. They're just external activities of the body. They're called secondary when they're actually connected to Krishna. That's the, in the Vedic you have paravidya, which is transcendental knowledge, and apara means that knowledge which can be engaged to support para. But the same knowledge not used to support para is called avidya. So that means the Ayurveda can be aparavidya, or it can be avidya. Whichever way, however you use it connected to Krishna, it's apara. Then it becomes that indirect, that secondary. But if you're not using it connected to Krishna, it just becomes avidya. Okay? You know, sometimes devotees get it, they get into Ayurveda or something, and they get completely distracted from devotional service. You know, at least it's pious, but it's not going to enhance their devotional service. So when you connect it to Krishna, then it, you have a benefit. So does that make sense? This means that even knowledge, which is superior to fruit of activity, is not successful. Oh, here, no. Knowledge of self-realization, even though freed from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a concept of the infallible God. What, then, is the use of fruit of activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? This means that even knowledge which is superior to fruit of activity is not successful if it is devoid of devotional service. Like, because there's this idea, oh, we're doing knowledge. Oh, I'm getting a degree. It's like you say, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing my PhD. And everyone's just supposed to go, oh, wow, that's fabulous. You know, but if you ask them why, you know, I mean, it'll always be for preaching, but, you know, anyone's on campus with a PhD preaching? Not on their own campus. They could go to another campus maybe and preach, but they won't be caught dead preaching on their campus. They'll lose their job. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that it's just automatically, oh, it's a glorious thing. Yeah? So? You know, it's like if you can use it, if that's what you have to do, if you just say get a PhD, so I'm just comfortable teaching, there's an opportunity here, I'd already done up to here and this and that, and so that way then, you know, I can make money, I only have to teach this much, it gives me much more time, you know, I can have free for devotional service, this area that won't drive me nuts. If you said that, then you go, okay, well, nice, really good plan. You hear anyone say that? No. Because they want to present it as if it's something grand and glorious. When it's just, okay, if that's your nature and that's what you have to do to make your money, then do it. Great. Why not? But it's not that it's going to further the movement of Krishna consciousness on its own. You know, I mean, right here, Bhagavatam's saying that without a connection, devoid of a concept of the Lord, means you have a concept, but what you're learning, does that have a concept? Can it be used in connection? If it can, great. You know? Like, I know some yatras, then everybody would get degrees so that they could go into the country, which wouldn't let anybody in. But they have a degree so they can go in and they teach a subject there. And because of that, then they can preach. The whole yatra is based on that. And then there's a purpose there. But they actually preach. You know, and they get the result. You know? So it has to have that connection. You know, and if that's not connected, let alone anything of karma is not. So you have to see. The main thing is it has to be about focus on becoming a pure devotee. If that's there, then anything else that you apply it to, then will start to work. Otherwise, you make so many plans, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do so many things, but then the problem is if you're not focused on Krishna, you can get distracted. Therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning, middle, and end, karmakanda and jnanakanda are condemned. For example, in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.2, it is said, dharma projita kaitavo tra. This is explained in the following verses taken from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.32 and the Bhagavad Gita 18.66, 2.9.264.270. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Occupational duties are described in the religious scriptures. If one analyzes them, he can fully understand their qualities and faults and then give them up completely to render service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A person who does so is considered a first-class man. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So he's saying, if you look at the occupational duties, you'll see what's the strength and weakness, and then they'll be given. Occupational duties will be given up. It's just service to Krishna. It doesn't mean that the activities necessarily change. It means you're just doing it because of its connection to Krishna. Krishna gave the system. He gave the ashram. So therefore, if one's a grihastha, one has a family, and because that's what Krishna's given. That's why you're doing it. Not because I want something. Right? And so therefore, then that simplification that's there, Krishna says he'll protect you. As long as one is not satiated by fruitive activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulated principles of the Vedic injunctions. Right? So that's just it. It means you have a taste and all that, you can function just on that platform. Nice. If not, then you have to follow the Vedic injunctions. So we have such an excellent system that how much is the material need or little that is there, or even in which area, maybe in one area that there's very much, another area not. But they can all work together and progress. And each person is unique and different in how that is. Now that's an excellent system. It's not a centralized system where everybody has to do the same thing and it's bureaucratically managed. It's not that. It's this perfect system about the individual, how each individual can be connected to Krishna. Because you have principles and you follow that. Okay, footnote 49. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.29. Pure devotees reject the five kinds of liberation. Indeed, for them, liberation is very insignificant because they see it as hellish. Pure devotees always reject the five kinds of liberation, which include living in the spiritual Vaikuntha planets, possessing the same opulences as those possessed by the Supreme Lord, having the same bodily features as the Lord, associating with the Lord, and merging into the body of the Lord. The pure devotees do not accept these benedictions without the service of the Lord. It means if the service of the Lord is there, then that comes along with it. The Lord is there in the spiritual world, you're there surrendering service. Right? You're rendering it a particular way, you have those qualities that match that. Right? Why does Mother Yashoda, her form, match the parental rasa? Right? Because that's then you can render those services to Krishna, and then Krishna has that reciprocating mood. Is it called what? Gaurav Priti. Right? Gaurav Priti Rasa.
Gaurav Priti is with his own children.
From him down?
Yeah.
What is it on
his
up?
Sons.
No, but what is it the other way? No, but that's what the sons have towards him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what we're saying, is the children have that towards the parents. The Vatsalya Rasa is the parent to the child.
Yes.
The child to the parent is that Gaurav Priti.
Yes, exactly.
That's what we're meaning. So that it matches. And so therefore then he has the size, he has these, he has all that. And that perfectly matches it. So she has the form that matches that mood. You know? So therefore having Swarupya, she has the matching form. It's not like in Vaikuntha where it's exactly the same. It means it has those same qualities that match. Like the cowherd boys, then they have the ones that match with Krishna, you know, as friends. Does that make sense? So they have them all, but they're only useful in service to Krishna. But we notice the Tattvavadis just mentioned following your duties, going back to Godhead. That's it. They didn't mention about continuing serving the Lord there. You know, they may be taking it for granted, but you know, you should mention it. Footnote 50. This is verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-13. It is very difficult to give up material opulence, land, children, society, friends, riches, wife, or the blessings of the goddess of fortune, which are desired even by great demigods. But King Bharata did not desire such things, and this was quite befitting his position. Because, for a pure devotee whose mind is always engaged in the service of the Lord, even liberation, or merging into the existence of the Lord, is insignificant. And what to speak of material opportunities? Footnote 51. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 5:14-44. Concerning the glorification of King Bharata, whom Sukadeva Goswami was describing to King Parikshit. Okay. A person who is a devotee of Lord Narayana is not afraid of a hellish condition, because it considers it the same as elevation to the heavenly planets or liberation. The devotees of Lord Narayana are accustomed to seeing all things on the same level. Because the point is, it's Krishna's energy, and then whatever is your position, you use that to serve Krishna. So you don't make a distinction based on that. We're looking at it, something's good or not, based on how it's good for the senses, or good for prestige, or good for... like that. Does that make sense? But if it's for Krishna, if you're serving Krishna... Like now, we'll be in a position, we serve Krishna according to what is our ability. Right? In that position, what would we do for Krishna? Right? And so then, now you end up with the aspect of, let's say it's a hellish situation. So in that, what would you do to serve Krishna? Right? You may not have other things, but you can remember Krishna, you can surrender to Krishna, pray to Krishna, you know, worship Krishna in the mind. You know, you can do so many things you can do. Does that make sense? So they see it all equal because they're all the Krishna's energy. It's wherever you are, that's what you do. So they perform their duties, but where it leads, that they're not worried about. Because they just, in any situation, see what's best to serve Krishna. Like that. So their security is their connection to Krishna. Because there is no security in the material world. And there's no security of material facilities. Right? I mean, you look at the, you know, what a joyous and happy place the Colosseum in Rome was in its day. But look at it now, you know. Of course, on your wedding day, you go there and have a picture in front of the Colosseum, but, you know. Other than that, then. Do they have a toilet inside?
What's the use?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically sums it up. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17-28 regarding the personality Chitraketu. Once when Chitraketu saw the goddess Parvati sitting on the lap of Lord Shambhu, Shiva, he criticized Lord Shiva for being shameless and sitting just like an ordinary man with his wife on his lap. For this reason, Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati. Later, he became a demon named Vritrasura. Chitraketu was a very powerful king and a devotee, and he could certainly retaliate even against Lord Shiva. But when Parvati cursed him, he immediately accepted the curse with a bowed head. When he agreed to accept this curse, Lord Shiva praised him and told Parvati that a devotee of Lord Narayana is never afraid of accepting any position, provided there's a chance to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the purport of Narayana paraya sarve na kutaschana bibhyati. Right? So whatever it is, okay, this is how it's going, then they go with it. Because it's not that he has something else to do. Right? Okay. 2.9, 271, 277. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like one of the things is one of the ways you can define Srimad Bhagavatam as its uniqueness as a Purana is it's the Purana with the story of Ritrasura. Like that. You know, so then, you know, in that way, then he's rendering his service.
But except for Krishna Leela, it's the most controversial Leela.
Unless you're a Madhva.
Madhva is different.
Why is it the most controversial?
Yeah. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that.
Because, oh, he mentions that.
Because demon, apparently, goes back to Bhagavad.
Oh, I see from
and
that.
Indra stays.
Yeah.
And demon, you know, but the whole interaction is very strange. He says, he told you to use Vajra, why are you using your club? And you know.
Yeah, yeah, so he's guiding him in devotional service.
It's very,
he's preaching to him to give him faith.
It's very unique in that sense.
But that's the uniqueness about it, is that it's showing that his devotion to Krishna is the actual thing. Nothing else. Because he's a pure devotee, and Indra is a neophyte devotee. So they're both devotees, but the point is the one is all about his prestige and his success and his everything like that, his facility. And then Ritrasura is just about doing his devotional. So he's a demon, so he does his demon duties. Right? And he does them well.
You say to the same thing for Chayi Vijay.
Well, there you're seeing is they're not acting as devotees. Then they take up devotional service.
But they are just demons. Chayi Vijay, they are just demons.
They
are just demons.
Yes, yes. But here is that he's doing externally the duties, but he is obviously a devotee and he's preaching. Jayan Vijayan never preached devotional service like that. So, you know, how far inside is this element that they're, if they're conscious of that or not, or they're doing all these things nicely just to do. But yes, you could say like that that they're doing. But then that's the arrangement. You know, that's their service. But at the same time, so we're looking at those externals, and you see he does preach. Because otherwise, After hitting Airavata with the club, probably Indra would have quit. They would have turned around and run off. And then, you know, they all would have went to Brahma, and it's kind of like, we already went through this, didn't we? You know? And so then he's preaching. You know, so he's more, you know, has more of that valor and everything. He has that. So even then there, because he has no material desire, therefore, just like you see Bhishma in the battlefield. All the other ones, you know, they're tough, but Bhishma, then that's Krishna has to get involved. Before, Krishna didn't have to get involved, but this one he has to get involved because he has no material attachment. He has nothing to gain. So he's just doing to, you know, be absorbed in Krishna and remembering Krishna. Yes, I guess from that point it would be, because we become confused if the externals aren't seemingly pious, then we become confused. But at the same time as we won't necessarily accept those pious externals that are recommended. We want to use our own form. You know, we'll say, oh, no, we're not the body, it's not dependent on that. And yes, okay, nice, move forward. But they'll move backwards, that use the, oh, it doesn't depend, and then use a lower form. You know, so like that. But the point is that won't give you either, because pious or impious, they won't give you bhakti. Right? Bhakti will give bhakti, and that you get from association with devotees. So... So that's why it's many times hard to understand. People can't figure out who we are. You know, it's just like, Prabhupada will be generally seen as a conservative. But if he's a conservative, how is he doing so well with basically the most liberal people on the planet? You know, all the hippies and all that. How is he doing so well with them? So that's the thing, is that we're none of these. We're not liberal, we're not conservative. We're just following the path of bhakti, following the acharyas. Right? They make these dualities. For us, what's proper for service to Krishna, that's what's pious. What's not proper for service to Krishna, that's not pious. So, yeah. 2.9, 2.71, 2.77. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued speaking to the Tattvavadi Acharya. Both liberation and fruit of activity are rejected by devotees. You are trying to establish these things as life's goal and the process for attaining it. Seeing that I am a mendicant in the renounced order of life, you have been playing with me in a duplicitous way. You have not actually described the process of ultimate objective. Right, because he sees this as a sannyasi and, you know, a mayavadi. So he's just kind of saying something, you know, to kind of get him out of the way, you know. Like I remember we went to see one of one of the acharyas was in the evening, he was giving darshan. Like that, you know, just people would come in and offer their respects and leave. So we came in and offered our obeisances, and then mentioned, I think, Vodhi could, you know, was speaking in whatever the language and that, and then saying, you know, about this and that, and so many things about the devotional. And he just, you know, he was just looking at, you know, Westerners and just said, yeah, go take the shot. So it's a fairly standard thing to do. You know, mayavadi, get him out of here. After hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the acharya of the Tattvavada Sampradaya became very much ashamed. Upon observing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's rigid faith in Vaishnavism, he was struck with wonder. The Tattvavada acharya replied, "What you have said is certainly factual. It is the conclusion of all the revealed scriptures of the Vaishnavas. Still, whatever Madhvacharya has established as the formula for our party, we practice as a party policy." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Both the fruit of worker and the speculative philosopher are considered non-devotees. We see both elements present in your sampradaya. The only qualification that I see in your sampradaya is that you accept the form of the Lord as truth." Right? So they're taking the form of the Lord is there and they worship that form? No. Then that's very nice. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to point out to the Tattvavadi Acharya, who belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, that the general behavior of the Tattvavadis did not favor pure devotional service, which must be devoid of the taints of fruit of activity and speculative knowledge. As far as fruit of activity is concerned, the contamination is the desire for elevation to a higher standard of life. And for speculative knowledge, the contamination of the desires to merge in the existence of the absolute truth, right? Means the liberation is there. Maybe into the same planet or same form, but it's about that aspect. He didn't mention devotion. He didn't mention pure devotion, bhakti, any of these things. Right? And so here, he wants a higher standard of life. Means that, you know, in the spiritual world, they want that life rather than it's the connection to Krishna. So if it's a starting point, you could say you could start here, yes, no problem. But it has to take all these things up. Yes?
So basically, Mahaprabhu said, when he asked that question about sadhana and sadhya, so now he's saying the explanation of sadhana is wrong and your explanation of sadhya is also wrong. So from two, they both mistaken.
Yes, but it's in the sadhana, it's because the sadhya is wrong, that's why the sadhana is wrong.
Yeah.
In this case. Because the thing is certain aspects of sadhana are just generic, they're just general. You can use them however you like. You know, it's like we said, getting up in the Brahma Muhurta, everybody in any Sampradaya, whether it's Vaishnava, Shaiva, Tantra, anything, they all get up in the Brahma Muhurta. So you know, those are generic. So it's hearing his goal, that's where the problem is. So therefore, they're thinking by the sadhana and all that, I'm going to therefore elevate myself, I'm going to get out of the material world and solve that problem, you know, and like that. So that's the one. And it's, I want to get into the, you know, the spiritual planets because it's a better situation. So it has an aspect of karma, but he's talking about this karma on the platform of dealing, comparing it to pure devotional service. Right? Just like the 11th canto, then is making the point that that which is connected is about pleasing Krishna, pure devotional service, that's pious. Anything else is impious. So from that definition, then what they're talking about is impious because it's karma. Right? So we may use that as a beginning stage. Right? Because we're attached to the body and the facilities and our habits and these things, and so we start connecting to Krishna. And we want to get out of the miserable condition of the material world. So by that inspiration, but what's being given along with that is about pure love for Krishna. So then these just become stages to go through. Right? That's what I said before, that liberation is a stage devotees go through. Why? There's no big deal. They don't make that into a big deal. Devotees go through that stage. It's part of the natural progression. But it's not that they're trying to attain that. They're just focused on Krishna, and then all this comes. It's just like we don't have to focus on each plate. We just focus on Calcutta. You'll get to Calcutta. We don't say, okay, so what's you know, well, we got to get to Bamanpur. You know, but then what? You know, then, okay, then we'll worry about it. No, it's just, you focus, that's one way to do it, and it's a problem. But if you focus on Calcutta, you just look at the signs for Calcutta. You look at where it is, what road goes to Calcutta. And then these places are places you go through. You know, so like Kardama Muni. He's a brahmachari, then he sees he needs to be a grihastha. But it's not a goal as such, it's something that he'll go through to get to pure devotion. Does that make sense? So it changes, because we'll take it that, oh, if you're rejecting it, then there is none of these things. No, it's how you use them. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. That's the whole thing. Like, you know, you're in the temple and one devotee was there and you say, oh, what happened to that devotee? What's he? Oh, he's in the kitchen, he's cooking for Krishna. Right? It's about Krishna, serving Krishna. You know. But, you know, he's in that position, he uses those things. It's not about cooking. His goal is not to become, you know, a great cook. His goal is to serve Krishna. So that's the thing, is that due to the influence of impersonalism, you know, the jnana, path of jnana, then we think is that if you don't want the results of karma, you're not performing any activity. And by knowledge, then we'll be free. Right? Isn't that the saying? By knowledge, you'll be free.
Knowledge will set you free.
Knowledge will set you free. Yeah, that's it. And then you have the Jaimini's one, that work will set you free.
Wow. Well, that's okay.
No, but I'm just saying is that you have both paths are there. So that's not... The whole... Huh?
So it means... They are the original ones.
So the whole point is you have the point is there's this idea is that you will benefit by work, you will benefit by karma. But when we say bhakti, then that means but you get all benefits from karma and jnana. So by bhakti I give up karma and jnana. Right? So I'm not doing anything that has to do with karma or anything that has to do with beyond. So therefore there's nothing. And so then what do we have? Buddhism. Nirvise shunyavadi paschatyadeshatarine. People aren't walking around with three lines on their foreheads, but they're all Buddhists and impersonalists. Because how they're using everything, that's how they view. So as soon as you say, let's say you have somebody who follows nicely the Varnashrama's cars, you know, they are understanding in their tradition and all that, and you're telling them, no, it's not about fruitive activities, it's not about, you know, doing all these things because of the material benefit. You know, you're doing these things to please Krishna. So now do they think, oh, I give up all the activities I do? No, they just go, oh yeah, I'm doing this because of the, you know, material benefits, either in karma or jnana. Right? But then they'll see as, no, now I do that with the idea I'm doing this to please Krishna. They just change the mentality. Right? But because we don't have that experience, we think that if you're not doing karma or jnana, you're throwing everything out, last little bit. You know, it's like we start a fire. Oh, this is not Treta Yuga Prabhu. You know, we chant Hare Krishna. You know, it's like, you know, like that. Yeah. It was probably 84 till 96 that I heard that. Any new devotee who came and saw that was the first thing they said.
Then the yuga changed.
Yes, then the yuga changed. The multinational corporate yuga. And then, now, Prabhu, could you show us how to do it? Like that.
You have four yugas in this.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah, so interesting. That's a good one. Yes. So the point is that when it's connected to Krishna, that's just what you're doing. You're connecting the mentality. It's just like if I say, you know, cook for Krishna. You're not cooking for yourself. You're not cooking for your senses. Like that. Does that mean for the cookie means now I stop cooking? I don't do anything? What would that mean? That means I can't do anything unless it's for my benefit. So then, would that be the fault of the philosophy or the fault of the perspective of the individual? Right? So yeah.
I'm thinking that Rupa Goswami says that except for Shanta, activities is where we actually interact,
yes,
with the Lord.
Yes.
It's not in some bandha, it's not in Prayojana, it's in Abhideya.
Yes.
That's where it all happens.
Yes.
So we don't want to shorten that period. The sounds,
yes,
think, okay, let's finish
yeah,
the service and then just, you know, whatever the idea is. But actually the main interaction is in that service.
Yeah, no. Interesting that there. So the sambandha is the situation that you're performing Abhideya, and Prayojan is the taste you're gaining from that.
But they meet right there.
Yeah, that's where they meet. That's why Govindaji is the main deity, not Gopinath. You know? So even if we're talking about this prayers to Gopinath, that's the Govindaji aspect of Gopinath. Because, you know, it's always about how he's dancing with the gopis or this or that. So it's always talking about Abhideya aspects of Gopinath. So yeah. So basically, it's not the technicality of the philosophy. It's understanding this essential point about bhakti being independent and being unique, in that it includes whatever you want to gain from anything else. It's already in bhakti. But we'll take it that it's another item on the list. There's karma, there's jnana, there's bhakti, and if you're doing bhakti, the other two, no. It already includes. You know, it's just like, let's say, the guy that comes in to cut the vegetables and he wants to take up the kitchen and use everything and not let anybody else do anything because cutting the vegetables is the most important. You'd say cutting vegetables is the most. It's not about cutting the vegetables, it's about cooking. Right? So now he may think, okay, I give up cutting vegetables. It's just about cooking. But would the chef think like that? He would go, no, because it's part of. But it's only part when you see it in context of what you're trying to cook. How do you cut the vegetable? Depending on what you're cooking. What vegetable? Depending on what you're cooking. Right? What pans? What this? Depending on the what you're cooking. So there's techniques. So you see, it's the cooking. So it's by bhakti, that's the main thing. Everything else is just in support of that. That's all there is. There isn't something else. So bhakti already includes everything. Like we said, the chef. If you say the chef is talking with the host about planning the menu. Oh, the chef has gone to the market to, you know, select the ingredients. Oh, the chef is arranging the kitchen. Oh, the chef is, you know, preparing the ingredients. Oh, the chef is cooking the ingredients. Okay, now he's a cook. Oh, the chef is, you know, setting up the arrangements for serving. Oh, the chef is overseeing and seeing how it's going and, you know, maybe some of the main people coming himself and serving. You have no problem with that. But if they're only doing that activity, you don't call them a chef. You call them a program planner. You call them who does the marketing. You call them a kitchen assistant. You call them a waiter. You know, and then afterwards, you're sitting down and taking and relishing and combining and thinking and talking to others about it. You know, he's not a customer. So that's the thing, is when these things are seen on their own, without the essential point, they're given separate names. So someone doing an activity that's not connected to Krishna, they're called a karmi. Someone who's having knowledge and trying to use that knowledge to free themselves from the material world without Krishna, they're called a jnani. But the devotee does activities without attachment to please Krishna. So we're so used to that it's one or the other. You know, you're either for us or you're against us. Right? If you're Irish, then you're a Guinness. But if you're like that, it's American, you're a Guinness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Is that it's us or them. It's black or white. But the point is that devotional service means it includes everything. So that's where, this is the point that it gets down. That's why Krishna says, give up all other religion. And that doesn't mean you stop them. Remember, that means in... where is it? I think it's Singapore. ISKCON's not allowed in Singapore. Because in our books it says Sarvadharm, give up all varieties of religion. So they say we're irreligious.
They read our book.
Something, I don't know. Someone came up with that. Somebody must have read the book. Because if you go to Yamat, you can go in.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you can get away with it or not, but I remember one time I went there, and then they said, you know, are you ISKCON? And that, because someone told me before they don't like ISKCON, I said, no, go to Yamat. And I just wiped off, walked straight through. Yeah. And I was dressed as a devotee. The next time I went, I guess maybe they had some understanding or whatever it is like that, and I said that, and they said, wait over there. And then the lady who was taking us through, like that, and she says, I don't understand. It says, they said that there's a delay because, you know, you can't go in because it's a problem. You know, it's, how you say, it's a problem for national security. So I think, oh, okay. So he just took me to a waiting room and that, and that, you know, just, you know, like the what do you call it, the lounge, you know, the lounge. Sat there and then he took the next flight. You know. No, we were going on. It's just that I think it was the next day, so then they just moved it up and I went.
They didn't let Prabhupada in.
Yes. They didn't let Prabhupada in. So that's because the smartest
one devotee went there before Prabhupada, and he not just before prior to Prabhupada's visit to do some preaching, and blasted all the Hindu gods. So the Hindu community protested to the government.
Yes, yes.
Since then, this comes then, even though they resisted in other organizations. To this day, they're not Hindus.
Yes, yes. But same also in Nepal, we're not registered. Because the king's Brahmins were all smartas, so they don't like Vaishnavas. So they wouldn't let us register. You know, we can have our temple, do all the stuff, but we can't register. So like that. So there's also there, the smartas, the Devi worshippers, they, same problem. So that's the thing, is they can't understand what is being said by that. What it means giving up all religion, it means that you're giving up, you're doing that because of the benefit for what you're getting. Like you say, someone's being austere. That's a religious principle. Why are you being austere? Because of the certain benefit you get. But if you're being austere because it's part of your devotional service, it's not being austere. It's not a religion. It's just an aspect that you're doing. You're fasting until noon. You know, it's Radharani's appearance day. So you're not following austerity on its own, you're just fasting for Radharani. So it's included already in devotional service. But somehow or another, because of our conditioning, because we only know karma and jnana, we don't know bhakti, you know, we have unlimited lifetimes of karma and jnana. So, you know, they resonate, you know, like that. But when it comes to bhakti, it's like, you know, this is new. And so that's why you get it from the devotees. You get it from the pure devotees. Then the chit potency is there. Then you get understanding. So you take that, you try to practice it, you try to understand it, remove doubts, you practice, get an understanding, continue practice, then you get realization. Now you have that samskara.
We use that verse a lot in China. You see, Krishna says, Saradana Vayata Jaya, give up all religion. We
have
a religion. Krishna says, give
them
away.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Why not?
We started Gita backwards from 18th chapter.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Chinese anyway goes that way, doesn't it? Yeah. So when you do the Chinese Gita, does start from that end. Yeah. So if this point, because that's the first point, why it's being emphasized, because that's the definition of Shraddha that Lord Chaitanya gave. And so when you have that when you have faith that devotional service includes all other processes, that's then what he defines as faith. And to that degree, then you advance, because prema is mature faith, so that means it's 100%. You know, that means there's only Krishna, pleasing Krishna, there's nothing else. There's nothing else that's important. And then as you come down, then it'll be, that's what you have. You have a drop of that, therefore it's called Shraddha. Then as you cultivate it, it gets more, then it moves on to the next positions. So that's why it's such a central feature. If that's there, then everything else starts to fall into place. With that, then you can show where does Varnashram fit in, where does the knowledge, where does renunciation, where does study of shastras, where does, you know, celibacy, where does, you know, charity, where do all these things come from? And when you see it all, it's how it fits into devotional service. What's there? Favorable. Just like you have somebody, then by fasting, then they're able to do more service, they get more rounds done, they're not distracted and all that. But then someone else, if they fast, then they get acid, so then they eat something. They don't fast. You know, so like that. So whatever's favorable for you to be absorbed in service. So that's the main thing. You have your tradition. If you can do that, of course you do that. It's the easiest. It's definitely easier to not eat from when you get up in the morning until noontime than to have already eaten two or three times. It's a way easier. you know, less distraction. You can just get into chanting, getting into service like that. So it is better if you can do it. But if you can't, it doesn't matter, because the important thing is that increased hearing and chanting and serving. The bhakti is the main thing. So if that's understood as the core point, then you can connect everything to it. You know, like you said, is the knowledge, is it going to help in Krishna consciousness? How is it going to help? Oh, I'll know better how to argue with people. No, you know. Not at all. You'll develop the false ego. You'll want to argue with everybody, but you won't necessarily develop the ability to. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say, in that last presidential debate. Was it a matter of rhetoric there, or was it just a matter of attitude?
I never been able to hear what they're saying.
No, that's my point. It was just attitude. That was the technique. You know? So just by having that attitude, then in that way they're just, that it goes on. But otherwise technique and this and then nothing, you know. It was just attitude. You know, so it's just that's the whole point, is that none of these things are, otherwise these things aren't there. Otherwise they'd all be pure Vaishnavas, right? So, no?
Huh? I don't follow what I was saying
about. I mean, what we were talking about.
Yeah.
You didn't get the reference, or you didn't get how the reference was used?
No, I just didn't see the debate.
No, we
yeah, nobody saw the debate.
Oh, then I didn't get it.
No, it's just one tries to talk, the other one keeps talking. Yeah, one won't stop talking. Anything they said, you know. So then I was, no, you were never doing that. Who said you're doing that? You're an idiot if you think you're doing that. You know, like that. So, you know, why, Rick, you don't have any answer to that? You're just going to sit there all day? We don't got all day. You know, so that's all that went on the whole time. So it was just attitude. So it's like, you know, what you're going to learn. You know? Your shoes are untied, huh? Yeah, so it's just, yeah. That's the fun part, is that there's this whole idea where this Western kind of culture is deified, that it's somehow or another so fabulous, everything's going so wonderfully, and everybody's so, you know, so well situated, and everything's so perfect. If we have that, then, you know, everything will be very good for Krishna consciousness. But if that was the case, why did anyone join? You know, that same place they were in with the same everything. Why didn't they join then? No, they opposed all that for years, and now they're going back.
They're checking it out. Maybe it became better.
Oh, maybe it became better. Yeah, okay. The iPhones become better. Why not everything else, right? Okay. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah. Okay. So that's the whole thing. When you have faith that the material world's Krishna's material world. It runs according to how Krishna says. And you can do whatever you like, but then you get the results of that. And so then only when it's scientific does it work. And if it's not following Krishna's principles, it's not scientific. So that's the only reason. Since you're here and you have to work with it, and you want to get facilities and like that, why not use it the way Krishna says? You know, it's like there's a manual that comes with the machine. Read the manual. No, I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to turn things upside down. It works better. Right? You know how difficult it is sometimes, how the toast gets stuck? So we'll turn the toaster upside down. Then we'll never have that problem. Might not get any toast either, but at least it'll never stick. Because sticking's the worst thing in the world and all that, and everyone's out in the street marching about, you know, toast sticking, and, you know. So, So that's the problem. No, just follow what you're supposed to. Read the manual. That's the Vedas. Then it works. And so that's the problem here, is that they're going, and then they also have the problem, they say whatever Madhvacharya is established, they're following the externals of it. Because Prabhupada refers to it, you know, they had that nice worship of Uddhava Krishna, all the mutts are there, and he made a system that they all do their worship, you know, they rotate, and that's still going on today. So there's many nice, nice things that he got everybody involved. You know? That it's been, how many, these was how many years? 700 years ago? Madhva?
Yeah, 1270.
Okay. So 800. Yeah. So, and still that system of rotating, that the leaders of the thing are doing the worship. So it's a nice thing. They're involved and they know what's going on. There's common ground. They can discuss, they can expand. But at the same time, it's not that they understood necessarily what he was talking about. So they're saying he emphasized these things because they, you know, they do all these things, but it's for Krishna. Right? All the mutts are around Krishna. Everything's about Krishna. So why isn't he saying what Lord Chaitanya is saying? But they don't catch it. Just as we're bewildered, they're bewildered. But we so much emphasize what it should be that, you know, after a while you start to say, you know, why are they saying that? You know, it starts to slowly, slowly, like a drop, you know, wears away, you know. Like that. But they're from pious backgrounds and everything, and so then they, you know, you have this form, you use it for Krishna. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.